It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's a magic marker. A felt pen.
It's a mistake.
It's a trap.
It's a fucking comedy.
It's quiet. Maybe too quiet.
It's all happening.
It's a good day to die.
It's a good day to talk about movies.
Welcome back. It is a good day to talk about Captain America, the First Avenger. I'm your host, CB. Joining me as always are Mac.
How's it going?
Jalen.
What's good?
Duncan.
I can do this all day.
As well as our Captain America correspondent who will be joining us for this week and all future Captain America films, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going? Duncan stole mine.
Thanks for coming on, Jeff. Today we are going to be discussing the fifth film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain America, the First Avenger. This is your weekly Tuesday bonus episode of GDT, where we talk about superhero movies and TV shows and go through the MCU movie by movie. Previously, we've covered Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, and Thor, and next week we're going to be doing The Avengers. Here on GDT, we talk about movies we love and interview independent filmmakers. Every Friday, Duncan and our other host, Gardner, host the full episode of our show where they interview an indie filmmaker or someone else involved in the filmmaking process. On top of that, we've got our Monday bonus episodes hosted by Niatifa, where he interviews the cast and crew of the GDT short film titled Nostalgia. If you want to learn more about that, check out those Monday episodes. The newest one was released yesterday. Then on Thursdays, we have our regular bonus episode where Gardner and Duncan talk about a new TV show, new movie, something relevant, or talk to a guest about a movie of their choice. This week, the Thursday episode is going to be on Kenobi Part 5, which is the second to last episode in that series. So definitely join Gardner and Duncan for the last couple weeks of the show. Those are all of our weekly episodes, so check them out. And on top of that, we have a monthly episode releasing the first Sunday of every month, hosted by Duncan, Kari, John, and Stevie P. This month, they covered Top Gun Maverick, and it was released last Sunday, so go check that out if you haven't already. That's what we do here on GDT, and now it is time to talk about Captain America, the First Avenger. But before we get into that, let's do a quick spoiler warning. Spoilers for Captain America, the First Avenger, and spoilers for the entire MCU. Anything MCU related is fair game, so if you're worried about any movies or shows being spoiled, turn this off now, go get caught up, and then get back to us. For everyone else, that was your spoiler warning for Captain America, the First Avenger, and the entire MCU. So, Captain America, the First Avenger was released in 2011, and it stars Chris Evans, Tommy Lee Jones, Hugo Weaving, Hayley Atwell, and many more. The movie was directed by Joe Johnston, another one and done director in the MCU, which is unfortunate because this movie was definitely a critical and commercial success. That's a little background about the movie, but let's go ahead and get into our opening thoughts. Here on GDT, we always like to let our guests go first. So Jeff, why don't you start us off with your opening thoughts on Captain America, the First Avenger?
So for me, this is like it's not my favorite Captain America movie, but it's still a really good movie. It's a little bit like propagandish, but is everything in theory you want, like, you know, your superheroes to be doing in conjunction with the U.S. military. It's fun. It's got good action. It's got like a lovable character who you're fighting from the beginning, you know, the underdog kind of coming out of nowhere, tries to enlist five times and the military won't have him. But, you know, he finally, you know, gets the serum and obviously goes on to be instrumental in saving the world. It's got just a great feel to it the whole time. It's like a real lovable cast and like lovable characters. And this is, like I said, it's not my favorite Captain America movie, but Captain America is my favorite Avenger. And so this is like, you know, up there for me on the Marvel movies. One of my favorites.
Okay. Mac, what did you think?
Yeah, I feel like I have to second what Jeff said. It's definitely not my favorite Captain America movie, but again, it's a bit of a nostalgia piece for me. So it's always great to watch it and get to relive the feelings that I felt when I first saw it. I love Chris Evans as Captain America, Tommy Lee Jones, all-star cast. I love seeing him play Captain Phillips. He's just like the perfect hard military man. I think he embodies that character really well. And overall, I think it has some good action. You know, I agree with Jeff's note about it being a little propaganda-ish, but again, that's what you're going to get when you watch something that has the military in it. But overall, this is a good movie to watch. I love rewatching it. And yeah, it's definitely up there for me.
Okay. Jalen, what do you got?
I like this movie a lot. After watching it the first time, again, yesterday, I had to watch it again today because I enjoyed it so much. I think I like the aspect of that action is a little bit more realistic, and you can kind of like, even though it's far-fetched as super soldier serum, you can still kind of visualize it being in a world in the military with that being as a weapon. And I like Captain America's integrity, and it was kind of like an inspirational story, him being kind of like the small, scrawny guy and then become this big symbol for America, basically symbolizing what America should be but isn't. But that's another topic for another day.
All right, Duncan.
Yeah, I am not the biggest Captain America guy because he's a narc cop for sure, but I do like this movie. I think it's fun in hindsight because you get to see Chris Evans as a younger man. So it's just interesting in that aspect, but it's a well-told story. I think it's nothing groundbreaking, not the best film that they have in the Captain America series even, but definitely not in the MCU. I think with all these first five now that we've done, that I really enjoy them and I find them to be good origin stories. I'm not bored by them ever, I don't think, and they're maybe a little bit still cookie cutter-ish, I guess, in general, but for me it's fun because you're seeing superheroes and you're seeing well-known superheroes and you're leading to the Avengers, which, like I said in previous episodes, is this first big moment that everyone who was into superheroes at the time was definitely like, fuck yeah, for, and we'll obviously get to that, but I do like the introduction of all these original Avengers, and I think it's a good story, and I'm usually not that into older time period movies, and this one doesn't really suffer from being set in the past, I don't think, which is a good thing. So we'll get into the specifics, but I do like overall this film and had fun with it.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you guys said. I think for me, like, rewatching this movie kind of made me realize, like, I'm guilty of it. I was, you know, shit talking it last week, but it is criminally underrated. And I think the entire, I was just thinking about it just now, the body of work in terms of like solo films, I think for Captain America is the best in the MCU, better than Iron, you know what I mean? If you take 1, 2, and 3 into account, I think he's got the best solo movies. Winter Soldier and Civil War are some of my favorite movies. And, you know, we'll get to talk about that. But I think, kind of like you said, Duncan, I think they did a great job of like making it a period piece, but still keeping it fresh. There was a lot of opportunities for them to like show moments that would like make you throw up in your mouth, because like, you know, Captain America is like this very, he's very unlike the other two of the big three, Iron Man and Thor. He's not a arrogant guy. You know, he's just kind of genuinely good hearted. It can be kind of paradoxically hard to root for people like that sometimes, but it's really easy to root for him. And I think it's because they do such a good job of portraying him as an underdog. Like Max said, there's a ton of action, you know, and they, I don't know. It's just, it's not great. You know, it's not perfect in any way, but it's just a very, very solid film. And I think it's a lot better than I thought it was in my head. So I was excited for the opportunity to rewatch it. But now that we've given our opening thoughts, let's get into the full discussion of the movie. So the movie starts in the present day. We see some scientists in the Arctic. They're uncovering some wreckage and they see this, you know, massive frozen aircraft, which I guess if you're the audience, we kind of know that Captain America's aboard that ship. And then we're taken to Tunsberg, Norway in 1942. It kind of immediately shifts. And we are introduced to Johann Schmidt, who is this Nazi officer, and his men steal a relic called the Tesseract. But, you know, there's not much, we don't know much about what's going on in the scene and much of the story. So kind of take me what you guys thought of the opening moments.
Well, we can get into the Captain America is a narc cop allegations with his actions in the next film. But we'll hold off on that for now. I mean, in general, I think one of my maybe biggest complaints with some of these Marvel movies can be this like mysterious object that gives all this power. And it's kind of like this overused trope that whether it be like Transformers or early Avengers movie. And, you know, we don't know that they're going to tie together this really large, expansive universe with it. But I remember like kind of you almost like forget like in the origin movies where they all came from and like the earlier use cases of all the, I guess, Infinity Stones in their different objects are a little underwhelming at the time. But, you know, it'll grow to be weaved together.
I don't want to create a habit of giving what I wish could have happened in the movies. I know I did that with Doctor Strange. And not that I think there was anything wrong with how this movie started. It just came to me yesterday when Jalen and I were watching it, how sick it would have been if instead of starting off in the present, they just immediately thrust us into the 40s. And then we get the shock factor of him being back in the 2010s at the very end. So we're like, oh shit, he's back. And we don't have any idea that he's, I mean, we don't have, quote, any idea that he's coming back until the very end of the movie. So we're all expecting maybe that he inspired what we're going to know now as the Avengers versus like actually expecting him to come back. And like, granted, I know like that's not how it is in the comics. So obviously they're going to follow the comics as much as they can, but I don't know. I think that would have been a really sick alternative way to start the movie. That way we really get that shock factor at the end. Other than that, like one little thing that I think would have been cool. I do still really like the way that this movie started. And I think it was interesting that they immediately took us to the Tesseract. That way we know that this is going to be a really important part of both this individual film and then moving forward, especially not to jump ahead, but when we get to the post-credit scene. Overall, I thought it was great. I love that David Bradley was in there. I don't know if y'all are Harry Potter fans, but Like growing up, I thought that was so cool that he was in it. He plays like the creepy caretaker really well. He really embodies that role well. But yeah, I thought it was good. And I like that we're immediately into the action and not just taking our sweet time getting to it. So yeah, I thought it was good overall.
Yeah, I like the way they started off the movie as well as kind of explained the Tesseract, because after rewatching, I saw how Schmidt was basically describing the Tesseract as basically like Odin's jewel and saying like, this is basically science. It's not godly power or anything like that. Like everything has a scientific explanation, which like kind of hinted at like the debunking of Thor as like a god or whatever. So I did think that was kind of neat how after hearing Thor be debunked as a god and more of an alien was kind of touched on already in the beginning. So I like that part. And I do agree with Mac. I feel like they should have hinted at Captain America coming to the present day, like push that part at the end of the movie. So even though we already know it's coming, but still would have been a good way to like build up to it instead of us already knowing it at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it adds really anything to this. Sometimes I'm okay with them showing you the future for a reason, but I don't really know what you get out of it. So I agree with you guys. Forbes, also, you weren't here in the past where I did mention, and I think it was probably Iron Man 2, that although I do call Captain America a narc cop, it is funny, and I do admit that it's weird that in Civil War, the sides the two of them are on are kind of flipped in what you would think the narc would be on. So I don't know if that's exactly what you're referring to, but I did make that comment earlier, so you want to give myself the middle ground there, where I do understand that point of view on it, but obviously we will get to it later on in later installments of Captain America. But as far as the opening of this one, yeah, I like that. Obviously, we know in the future that's the Power Stone in the Tesseract. I like the establishing of that early on, like we said. Other than that, I think it's fine as an opening. So, not the most important stuff yet. Obviously, setting up the Tesseract's important. It's just a MacGuffin, though. It's not the most important thing yet. Later on, it'll obviously become more important. It's cool that it is used now early on for that. Other than that, like I said, it's fine here at the beginning, but we'll get more interesting and important stuff later on.
Yeah, I think I just brought this scene up because I really enjoy Hugo. I mean, I'm a huge Hugo Weaving fan in general. Him as Agent Smith in The Matrix is, you know, one of my favorite villains. But I think it's like he just comes off as very ominous and just very ruthless in the beginning, which I like that they kind of set up straight away. And then Jalen, like you said, they use the, I don't know, they do a good job of making these like mythological things, like grounding them in the real world and just making it very believable so that like everything that happens next, you can kind of wrap your head around, as opposed to like them not explaining, you know, power scales and stuff like that. So it just, I mean, it just, I feel like it works well. But then from the opening scene, we are introduced to Steve Rogers attempting to enlist in the army to fight for his country. You know, he gets rejected because the guy has a long list of health problems. And we're also introduced to his best friend, Bucky Barnes, who is enlisted and who is actually headed out for duty. And they go to the World Expo, which is kind of like the 40s version of the Stark Expo that we see in Iron Man 2. And we see Tony's dad, Howard. Steve meets this guy named Abraham Erskine of the Strategic Scientific Reserve. And Erskine decides to give him a shot at becoming a soldier. And we're taken to a research facility where Schmidt and Zola are attempting to harness the power of the Tesseract. So I think in this first part, we kind of see a little bit more about Steve. So what did you guys think about the way they introduced us to his character?
I'm pretty sure in the World Fair or World Expo, there's a Human Torch costume, which is kind of cool because obviously Chris Evans played the Human Torch. I like to bring in one random fact each time I'm on here. But no, I think the introduction to Steve is cool. It's like he doesn't even want to try and get laid. He's just trying to go get back into the military. Maybe he's just a little bit too much of a suck up in that sense, you know, a little bit too over the top good guy of a character. Funny, like, you know, he's getting his ass kicked and gets saved by Bucky and stuff like that. Like just at the bottom, I mean, his health list is like he's like got like more health problems than a 90-year-old, you know, and you're just getting this true underdog like back to like nobody wants him. And so he doesn't even realize like why he's finally accepted. He's like, oh, okay, maybe I just got lucky this time, which is kind of a fun one. And then I don't know if it's this scene, but Schmidt is explaining the Tesseract and basically someone's like, oh, you're just going to try and, you know, carry out the Fuhrer's plans with magic. And he basically says something to the degree of like, oh, it's not magic, but I get why you'd see it as that, which is like an all-time diss to someone like, you're too stupid to understand what I'm doing. Some of my more favorite moments.
Yeah, I love that we get to kind of see a sweeter, more docile version of Captain America in this while he's like still Steve Rogers, really. Mostly because I feel like it makes him more lovable, because once he becomes Captain America, not that he still doesn't have those traits in him, but he definitely has to take on this more like serious, responsible kind of role. So it's really nice to get to fall in love with who he is as a person while we're getting these like 10, 15 minutes of him still as Steve Rogers, really. So I like that we got to see him. I love the introduction of Bucky. I'm a big Bucky stan. I really like getting to know their friendship prior to the shit show that comes later on in the MCU, which is a really nice tip off to that. But overall, yeah, I thought this was a great character building kind of scene, several scenes. But yeah, overall, it was nice to watch. And I love Stanley Tucci too. Great guy. Overall, I think this movie had a really nice ensemble cast, whether they were playing a major role or anything like that. I think they did a good job with their casting. So it was great to see all these people kind of come together into this movie that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely like the pacing of these scenes. It kind of like, since he was just Steve Rogers and not Captain America yet, it kind of like highlighted his character traits and personality, which later tied into how Erskine was explaining the Super Soldier Serum, how with Red Skull, it highlighted his bad traits and made it worse, and how he picked Steve Rogers due to his willpower and compassion and him being a good man. So I liked how that was explained, basically highlighted Steve Rogers' superpower basically being his compassion and always trying to do the right thing instead of just him having a super soldier serum. So it kind of like separated him as a whole. So I definitely enjoyed that part of the movie and the character building for that.
Yeah, I think he looks a little bit weird at the beginning, kind of, but it is a different time, so it's understandable. Also, your brain knows what he looks like, so it's part of it. So again, what are they going to do? You need to have the same face. I understand. I do like this part of it because it's good at setting up his patriotism, his selflessness. I think you get the idea of who Captain America is, and he's who you want as a Captain America for that character. So it's a good portrayal of that character, even if it's not my favorite character. But I like the relationship with Bucky and him also early on. And I do think that it does a good job of getting us to the super soldier serum quick enough, I think. And so that we're not dealing with weird looking Steve for too long. And it also can get boring if you're not with your actual hero for too long, especially when you're doing an origin story. It's like, all right, let's get to, he doesn't have to be in the suit necessarily, although I love the suits in any superhero property, but let's get some action, which we get right as soon as he turns into Captain America. We have that action scene, obviously, so that's good. They like to showcase kind of what he can do, both with speed, jumping, swimming, everything kind of in that one scene. And obviously we get the second time he uses a fake shield, because he uses the first when he's getting beat up in the alley. He takes his trash can lid, and then in the blow up fight he takes the taxi car door and uses that as a shield as well. That becomes a symbol, obviously, which leads to him being recruited as Captain America. And I think it was dumb of the military to be like, oh, we wanted an army and we got just you. It's like, he's still better than any one member that you're going to have on that team. So you should definitely have him part of that team. It seemed like a weird choice. Obviously, they get to using him, and that's Carter's part of that. But yeah, I like how we're getting into it pretty quickly here.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Duncan. The CGI on his body is kind of strange, but it's fine for the before and after effect that they're able to get when he changes into Captain America. We get the first, I can do this all day in the alley. And I like the foreshadowing with the trash can lid, like you mentioned. And I don't know, I think just this part of the movie is where the connection for me gets built to Steve. Cause like Jeff was saying, he's like really at the bottom of the barrel, this guy. You know, he's got every reason to like be bitter or just like stop, maybe go read a book and try to just be smart and give up the dream of like being a grunt in the army. But he just is like possessed by this duty. And he's like, I need to go do this for my country. And it's like, yeah, you do, I guess. And I don't know, when you said what you said about him being at the bottom of the barrel, Jeff, I just think about when they're at the expo and he like offers the girl popcorn and she like looks at him in disgust. It's like, yo, why are people so mean to this guy? I mean, I don't know. It's hard to watch, but it is definitely reassuring, I guess, for the audience to like build a connection with the character, because he's just, you know, he remains like so upbeat and just resilient in the face of like all of these slights from life. But after he meets Erskine, at this point we get taken to the boot camp where, you know, he goes through basic training, and we find out from Tommy Lee Jones's character, Chester Phillips, that the boot camp is kind of the training ground for the super soldier experiment. And we also get introduced to Agent Carter at this point. And then there's a montage of Steve, you know, struggling through basic training and kind of getting bullied still. And there are some moments where he shows why he's the right person to receive the serum. And then Erskine briefs us in a conversation with Steve, you know, the audience. There's some exposition about how Schmidt has become, I guess you don't know at this point, but I'll just refer to him as the Red Skull because, like, you know, that's who he is by the end of the movie, you know, revealing that Schmidt took the serum before it was ready. And then back in Brooklyn, Steve gets the serum. Schmidt has, like, deployed this spy to steal the serum, and he shows up and kills Erskine. And then Steve chases and catches him, but the spy kills himself with cyanide, kind of like what you're referring to, Duncan. So take me through what you guys were thinking about the moments in training camp and the first action scene.
So I'll make this point, and I want to caveat it with, I know nothing about CGI. I have read that basically what they did for this was not what they do in CGI. Usually they would film it four different times, like with Chris Evans in front of a green screen, with everyone else, and just like a couple different angles, and then just somehow just re-enter small Chris Evans in there. I agree. It actually doesn't look good. It looks kind of jarring. Like, he looks very unnatural. I'm sure they used, like, you know, some smaller guy to do some of the stuff where he's far away and doing much. But I mean, you could tell by later Marvel movies, even though they get a lot of crap for overusing CGI, that the techniques definitely got better and things like that. It's not the best looking transformation of a character. But no, I mean, the boot camp is cool. You know, they obviously want to make a camp of super soldiers, and it's like, who to use the first serum on, who's going to try it first. And then they pick Steve for all what we learn are the right reasons. You know, there's the bully show off guy, if you will, but Steve's like the kind of smarter, more jump on a grenade guy. Just like all together, like really great building of a character. Like, I think some of the stuff with, I think the Captain America is the best origin story trilogy. I think maybe this movie wasn't as popular as the original Iron Man, and some of this stuff may not have been like taken in by viewers. Otherwise, in my opinion, they would all think that this is the best origin trilogy. No, I definitely think there's like just good building of, you know, all the relationships with the characters and things like that.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that the CGI for Captain America was off. I didn't want to completely diss it just because I thought it may have been like me, but it almost seems like his head's just a bit too big for his body. You know, that's what, this kind of looks bobbleheadish the entire time that he's like smaller Captain Rogers. But overall, yeah, I think these were some really cool scenes getting to see him at boot camp, and you really fall in love with who he is as a person during these moments. He gets to show both his cleverness and also his courage when he jumps over the on top of the grenade to save everyone. I remember when I was younger watching this, thinking, what do they say? They're like, oh, it's just a dummy grenade. It almost seems like they were mocking him for some reason, I thought, when I was younger. But when I rewatched it, I was like, I don't know if they're mocking him or not, or if they were just saying he was exaggerating or something like that. But I mean, that's, again, that's like what they were using to test him, whether he was the right person for the job. And he played right into that so well. And you really get to see that that's the reason that they picked him, because of all these traits that we also love about him. And then we get to New York and they finally inject him with the serum. Like, the stark contrast between going from like smaller Steve Rogers to this like really buff man. I'm always like, oh shit. Like, you really get to see the difference in body sizes during that scene. And I don't know what his workout routine was. I don't know if he's just, I don't know, but I would like it. Yeah, I really enjoy those scenes. And you see why Captain America is Captain America, and you like fall in love with him over and over again.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say about the boot camp scene, but I did enjoy how realistic it was. If you take away, during this whole movie, take away the Tesseract and the Super Soldier Serum, this could be basically just a regular military type of movie and kind of be realistic in that time. The chase scene after he ended up getting the serum and everything, I like how they gradually let him get a hold of his newfound strength and everything. Like, when he started running and ran into the store and everything, I thought that was a good way to like show he doesn't have a handle on this yet and would get better at it progressing throughout the movie. So I like the realism of that. And also, like Duncan was saying earlier, him grabbing the car door as a shield, using that kind of hinted towards his iconic Captain America shield throughout the rest of the MCU. So I like that about the movie.
Yeah, I think, again, this part is definitely good at showing you who he is, why he gets chosen to be Captain America, why he's good for that character, and why I think at least he's a good representation of my understanding of what Captain America should be. So I think we've kind of mentioned those points. A lot of you guys made good, valid commentary about this part of it, and I think you're right. And I think that definitely it's the size of his head is part of it, Mac, for sure. Which, I guess, I don't know, couldn't the serum have like made him have a bigger head too? That might have helped if they had tried that out. But hindsight, who knows? It is funny how sickly he does look, though, when I saw comments on it. I think you obviously they're going for that, so it's a good thing, but it is just interesting how, like you were saying, Mac, big the difference is between that and the jacked Chris Evans later on. I like the introduction of Agent Carter. She's a good character. I don't necessarily fully get why she's leading that group, but whatever. I do understand that point of view from that guy who's like, I thought this was the U.S. military or whatever, and he was bitching about that there. He gets rocked in the face, but it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure it's like an easy explanation, but it's just funny that you would have a British agent running it instead of someone from America. Such a top program, but obviously it's not just an American program. I guess they're like experimenting with super soldier serum around probably the entire allies, and we know with the German soldiers as well. So I like this part of it. I like the, like I said earlier, how quick we get to Captain America, or I mean, I'm just gonna call it, once as soon as he has a serum, he's Captain America, even though he's not necessarily like suited up or a captain immediately, because that conversation is a little bit later. But he gets to that point quick, and the stuff before it is good origin story stuff. I like what you were saying, Jeff. It is up there. I wonder if it came out as the first one, if people would feel differently as opposed to Iron Man, but who knows? Iron Man does have that nostalgia moment. These two films both have great last lines, though. When you talk about Iron Man and this one, we'll get to that later on. But I do like the chase as well, like I said earlier, and the second allusion to the shield that we'll get later on and that we know of as being so important. So cool stuff here and setting up what we'll get later on.
Yeah, I really like this part, these scenes, especially at the boot camp. Like Max said, like, you see how clever he is when he puts the flagpole down on its side. And I'd forgotten how funny, I mean, and I guess kind of savage this movie is. Like when he's climbing into the thing to like become Captain America, you just hear someone, I don't even think they show the guy saying it. It's just someone says like, Jesus, somebody get that kid a sandwich. Like that, I thought that was really funny. Cause he does, yeah, he looks, I mean, I hate that we keep harping on it, but he like sickly is a good word. He's like fucking, I don't know. It is weird, but it's cool to see him emerge as Captain America. And then I like that he immediately like jumps into action. And you're like, oh shit, he can, I don't know. Some people feel like Captain America is like, why is he an Avenger? Does he have powers? Like, dude, he's that guy.
He is the first Avenger.
And I do like the scene when he jumps on the grenade. I thought that was like, that's like the quintessential Captain America moment. It's like, that's who he is, willing to make whatever, do whatever he needs to do to protect others, which I think is a pretty, it is a genuine quality. I know I've like voiced displeasure with Iron Man or Thor, and it's like, I don't know, I think Captain America's just in it for, he's not in it for the glory, he's just in it because it's like what needs to be done, and he can do it. He's like Jesus, kind of, you know, like no one, he didn't ask for this, he just kind of fell into it.
You all were so close to saying whatever it takes.
I was, but I didn't say it. Howard doesn't know what he's doing most of the time, which I think is hilarious and a nice contrast to Tony, you know, because Tony's like arrogant and is like, but is also a genius. I mean, and Howard is, I don't think, you know, he's not a genius. He just has this air of like, boy, I hope this works all the time with whatever he's doing, which I think, you know, I enjoy seeing the past version of him because he's not nearly as big of a dick as his son. So from that point, we're taken back to Schmidt's research facility where he tells us he's harnessed the power of the gods, and he kills some officers who are sent by Hitler to check on what he's doing. And then we see that Schmidt and Hydra, that like what he's got planned is very different from what Hitler wants. The government decides to turn Steve into like this national symbol of patriotism and propaganda, which he reacts to in ways. Peggy tells him that Bucky's unit has gone missing, and then Steve decides he's done being a quote dancing monkey and jumps into action to save his friend. He raids the facility that the prisoners are being held at, and he saves a bunch of POWs and Bucky in the process. And here we get the first confrontation between Schmidt and Captain America. So what do you guys think about this portion of it?
It's a really funny contrast because you know that selling war bonds was a huge thing, and you know that that was something the U.S. military did, you know, take the guys that raised the flag at Iwo Jima and like make them go on tour selling war bonds. But you have to deep down think like, if you built a super soldier, no way that they'd have him out there doing that. And it's like a little bit like frustrating, but you also wonder like, yeah, maybe, you know, raise war bond sales 10% or, you know, whatever it is. But very funny, like comical frustration of like, this is what you do with your one super soldier you got out of this, when you know the Hydra Nazi fallout group has a super soldier, you know, then him getting just absolutely decimated by the troops, going out there to tell him to punch Hitler, and then they're just booing him, they want the girls back. Just like really funny characterization, because like after he turns to super soldier, you know, you think he's just gonna go kick some ass, and it's like, oh no, now you gotta go sell war bonds. Like a funny, good, frustrating plot, because you're like, oh come on, you spent 45 minutes of watching scrawny Steve, and now you watch Jack Steve sell war bonds. But the first confrontation and everything that goes on with, like, I guess the big prison break is just really cool, because he's, you can tell he almost, like, it's like you were saying earlier, just doesn't know, Jalen just doesn't know what exactly he can do. And there's a scene later where he jumps out of a plane, like, does that guy have a parachute? Like, doing a lot of stuff like that, like, seems almost completely unsure of what he can do. And it's just like a really cool, like, take charge kind of moment. And like, no, I'm not going back to sell war bonds. Like, we're going to do something about this, you know? And again, just furthers the relationship with him and Bucky.
I actually really had a hard time watching this the first time I ever watched it, and then like every time since, when he just kind of gets reduced to an entertainer. For some reason, I always struggle watching those scenes. I don't know if it's because this guy has been shit on his whole life and he finally gets what he wants. He's like this close, and it just gets ripped away from him, and he's getting mocked by the same people that he's looked up to and wanted to be since the war started. And it's just really heartbreaking. I mean, you know what, honestly, I think I'm a bit too emotional when it comes to movies. I will not lie. I cannot count how many times I have left the movie theater watching a superhero movie distraught. There are video record of me sobbing walking out of theaters. So maybe I am just a bit too emotional, but like, I don't know, those scenes were really heartbreaking for me, and they made me genuinely sad for him. When Peggy goes up to try to motivate him, it made me mad at her, because she was like, what are you going to do about it? It's like, well, what did you do for him? You have power. You could have offered him an alternative. Instead, you just let him go on and try and sell bonds. I don't know. It made me kind of mad at her to have her speak to him that way, knowing that she could have done something. And I get it. Like, it was for the plot. Like, he needed to feel inspired himself. But I don't know. I was a bit irked watching it. But the rescue in and of itself, great action. I love that he was able to form a bond with these men and then go on to continue fighting with them in particular. And I think it was a really good way to say, like, look at me. I am capable of doing something. I'm not the same person that I was growing up. Like, I am capable of much more than that. And I think having him rescue them in this scene not only proved to himself, but also to everyone else that was in that battalion, he is Captain America, and he is worth having a seat at the table, especially with Captain Phillips being there, and especially with Colonel Phillips there, and that one other guy that was in his boot camp group, the one that they really wanted to become the super soldier. I forget his actual name, but I'm glad that they included that scene where he really got to see that he was the right candidate. I don't remember his name, but I don't know if you guys recall that moment. He's like coming out of the tent, and it just kind of pans to the guy that Phillips is really rooting for, but Erskine was like, he's a bully, when they were at boot camp. But yeah, I think it was a great way to showcase his abilities and show that he is willing to go above and beyond for the people that matter for him. Or honestly, not even for the people that matter for him, because he didn't know any of these guys, but he was willing to put his life on the line to help them out.
I just want to say, I definitely hate it how they try to use him for entertainment and selling war bonds or whatever, because it basically just made him look like a clown the whole time. I hated that, just rewatching that again. And I know it was needed for the plot, but I did like how he was just like, fuck this, like, I'm gonna go help my best friend, go save him and everything, which kind of like shows his character and how he wants to be a soldier and help people. He doesn't want to just sit behind the lines and not do anything that's not in action. So I like how he got a mind of his own, kind of like in other movies as well, and did what was right in his mind and for the good of the people. And it showed how much he cared about Bucky and wanted to get his best friend back, basically. And just this action out of the kindness and bond that he had with him jump-started him being actual Captain America, going on these missions, leading a team, and basically in the front lines of the war instead of being on the sidelines instead. So I think that helped the contrast of the slow moment to him becoming the true Captain America kind of was well needed in order to show like basically a giant contrast between the two and show that jump, which was kind of like major.
Yeah, I also think it's weird that they did that, because you would definitely want to use him, like I said earlier, in one of your probably most elite squads, but whatever, they get to that eventually because he proved himself. I really like the costume that he's wearing for his bond selling stuff. It's, I think, the original Captain America outfit, so that's cool. And then I like when he breaks them out. I think that's probably my favorite action scene in the whole film, when he bombs in front of the soldiers, which I think is a great scene as well. I think it's funny. But then he's like sad and he's drawing the picture of himself as a dancing monkey. And then Agent Carter obviously talks to him and we find out about that group of people and what happened to them. And then also Bucky. And obviously he decides to be on the front lines. And I think that's where I really like that breakout scene a lot. But I really do like this whole section for the action because I like I said, that set piece a lot and him rescuing them. And I like him being really disappointed in where he's at in the military and the reaction he got from the actual soldiers, like I said. And I like the relationships between both him and Bucky and him and Agent Carter. So I think those are both helped and furthered in this section of the film.
I like this part. I think I definitely agree with what I think Dunkey mentioned it earlier. I mean, and everybody's touched on it, that like it is super strange that they wouldn't immediately put him into action, regardless of whether or not there's not more of him. It's like, you got the one. It doesn't make any sense that they want him to sell. Like, you would assume there'd be like actors or something, like more famous people who the public knows that they can put up to that job and then just like use him for what they created him for. But it is funny. So I'm not mad that that's where they went with it. And like Jeff was saying, it's like pretty jarring because we get Captain America and then it's like, oh, here we go. About to see some action. And then he just goes on tour. And it's well done. It could have been more off-putting than it was. And I think I like that side of it. And I do really enjoy him breaking everybody out of the facility. And I think it's a great action scene. I think Steve, like, he clearly enjoys the attention that he's starting to get when he goes on tour, like going from anonymity to like becoming a star. But I think he, especially like what you guys were saying, when the soldiers kind of boo him and he's like trying, I think he says like, we're all on the same team. And they're like, no, we're not. Like, you're not, you know, you're not one of us. And I think that's like all he genuinely has wanted to be the entire time. So it's cool for him to like make that decision for himself in that scene where he's like, you know what, I have the power to like not just be a bystander. And he gets like a personal reason to like really do what he wants to do. So it's cool to see him act on that. So from the breakout scene, Rogers, kind of like Mac was talking about, he puts together a team of some of the soldiers that he broke out of the POW camp. And there's this montage of him and these guys raiding Hydra facilities. And then we finally get to see him don the shield, which Howard Stark, I guess I was going to say made for him, but he kind of comes to it on his own. He just kind of like is naturally drawn to it. And then Rogers and his team assault Zola's train. Zola's the sidekick of Johann Schmidt, kind of the brains behind the operation. And during the mission, Bucky falls to his apparent death during the attack. So take me through what you guys thought of the train scene.
Nothing like a good action montage. It really helps like having someone like Captain America to make it a little more believable. I know when they get broken out of the prison, the Hydra people have these like crazy advanced laser guns, which for the American infantry must be like, there's no way we're going to take them down. But then they just keep kind of whooping their ass at every turn. The train scene's like, you know, obviously like a little frustrating because it's like, that was why he was here, went to save his friend. And then, you know, they get to ultimately get the mission, you know, they get Zola, but, you know, he just came this far and then lost his boy right away. So always like he's finally where he is and then he loses his best friend who was like kind of the Owen by his side the whole time.
I agree. I think this action montage was a great way to both speed up the storytelling, but also showcase him really getting his hands dirty. And I think sometimes in superhero movies, when they're especially superhero, and it can get a bit cheesy, but because he is more of like a super soldier where his abilities are believable, just incredibly enhanced, it does make it seem more natural and more of like an easier montage to watch versus, like I said, sometimes when they're really superheroed up, it just seems a little cheesy and cartoonish to me. But I think this is a great montage. And I also agree that the train scene is a bit disappointing. It's a bit sad because at this point, we believe Bucky is dead, you know? Like you said, Jeff, he went to save his friend. He got his friend back. They're doing really awesome, kick-ass things. They're partnered up. This is what Steve had been wanting this entire time that he wanted to go into the military. And he finally had it, and it just slips through his fingers. And he's left to believe that his friend's dead. And he both has to continue on and mourn at the same time. So I personally think he handled that pretty well, given any other alternative possibility. But yeah, I think it was hard to watch, but overall, I think it was really, they were both, all of those were really important scenes.
Bouncing off of that, touching on Bucky's death, I interpret it as like, giving him basically a fire under his ass, a personal vendetta against Hydra and everything else during the war in order to not get revenge about Bucky dying, but basically avenge him in a way. So that's how I interpreted that part. And the scene that stood out to me the most, and I had to watch it twice, was when he did get his shield and then Peggy Carter just start firing off at him, shooting at the shield, and was like, I guess it works. Like, I love that part of the movie, especially since she just saw him kissing some girl in front of her, and she just had a little bit too much pride in order to admit that she was jealous, but that definitely showed in that scene.
Not to interject, it always is weird watching early Marvel movies when they end up using like a really famous actor or actress. Like, that's Natalie Dormer who he's kissing, and I always wonder if, like, did they know? And granted, that's not like, you know, absolute peak A-list actor that, but you know, eventually they're going to cast, you know, 400 to 500 people in these movies. And it's always funny, like, they use someone that big of a name, you know, Game of Thrones is about to come out, so they probably had no idea that she would have been that big of a name. But then, like, just to use her for one kiss scene, and pretty much that's it.
I was actually going to bring that up, so I'm glad you did. I didn't even remember that she was in it. So, I mean, what we saw, this came out in 2011, right? So I was 13 when this came out, and then I was watching Game of Thrones, like, in high school. So I probably barely remember that she was in that one kiss scene.
Well, yeah, it's, like, perfect, because it's like, oh, wow, Natalie Dormer was in the Marvel Universe? I guess that one and done because of that scene.
The actor who plays Peter Quill's mother is actually also in this film as someone who's asking for an autograph, I believe. But James Gunn, like, made a joke later on about how, oh yeah, that's his grandmother. I did appreciate this portion of it as well. I like the suit less. I think it's not my favorite. I don't like when they go kind of modern-ish, but it's muted colors. It's not my favorite Captain America suit at all. But I do love, like you guys said, the montage of action, and I like seeing Captain America be Captain America, looking like Captain America with Captain America's shield. That's a good thing, and I appreciate that we got to the shield as well. It's cool seeing him introduced to it while it's all silver, kind of like seeing Iron Man in an all-silver Iron Man outfit. So, cool origin stuff here. Good action, I would say. I guess if you read the comics, you're not that worried about Bucky Barnes' death, because you probably know what's coming next, but, and in hindsight, we feel the same way, because we know that he's not dead here. But big RIP to Bucky, just like big RIP to Loki. We've had some meaningful deaths so far in the MCU. And I will say that I don't necessarily think he needs the motivation of Bucky's death, because what we know about him as a character, what we've said they've established of him, is that he's all in to begin with. He doesn't need a personal tie. He just needs the America tie, in my mind at least. So I don't necessarily think he needed that motivation. I think it was more of an avenue to make him the Winter Soldier, because I think that's right. That's where he's coming up next. So I'm appreciating most of the scenes in this film. I don't think it's slow at all. I think the pacing is good. I think it has action and important stuff, or interesting stuff at least, back to back to back. So you're never bored in it, I don't think. I am surprised, like we've said in general, that people didn't like it as much, because he's a well-known character. People like him, and it seems to be pretty well done in every aspect, and it seems to give you a bunch of moments that if you're a Captain America fan, I feel like you should be going, fuck yeah. So for me, it all worked. And again, I'm not the biggest Captain America guy. I'm also more of a whore for the team-up scenes, kind of. I really do like the more people, the better, because it's just cool to me to have a bunch of different heroes. I like heroes. I like hero teams, because for me, X-Men has always been my favorite. At least those movies have been. So I think it's cool to see a bunch of different powers at the same time and a bunch of different abilities at the same time. But good setup for the character still. And I think probably we've said, obviously, we'll get to the later entries in the Captain America films, but probably out of the trilogies, or obviously Thor's going to have 4 now, but out of movies that have gotten sequels and are getting sequels still, I think probably the best action overall so far.
Montages are kind of hit or miss for me. And I think this one was, I mean, it hit. I think it was a good job, because like they're dealing with like a long span of time to like cram into this movie. So I think that was a pretty effective way to do it. And then when Bucky died, I thought, like, I remember I was genuinely shocked in Winter Soldier when he came back, because I believed him, because it felt like he was less important in this movie. Not that he was like unimportant. It just, like, you know, Loki's like the main villain, and then like clearly has this intense relationship with Thor, but it and Bucky kind of had the same thing, but I just, he didn't get that much screen time to the degree where I was like, okay, this guy, he has to be back. You know, I didn't feel like that when he died. I was like, oh wow, that is awful. He lost his best friend. So, I mean, I enjoyed that he came back. And I, like Max said, I'm a huge Sebastian Stan fan. So I think it was overall a pretty cool action scene. But from there, Steve decides to lead a raid on Hydra's main base using information that they get from Zola, who they captured during that attack. And then they launch, you know, this all out assault. And we kind of get the final battle. We find out Schmidt's plan for world domination. He plans to use the weapons and technology that Zola's created with the Tesseract to, you know, basically take over the world. Rogers makes his way onto Schmidt's plane. And after a brief fight, Schmidt is sucked into a wormhole that is opened up by the Tesseract. And then that burns through the plane and gets lost in the ocean. Steve realizes that he's not going to be able to land the plane safely. And then he makes the sacrifice play and he crashes it into the Arctic after saying goodbye to Agent Carter. So what did you guys think about kind of the culmination of it?
Maybe Bucky's death was solely a mechanic for us to get the information that Captain America can't get drunk. Like, that's something people always want to know about superheroes, is like whether or not they can get drunk if they crush like 100 beers. And obviously he would have no reason otherwise, being the stand-up guy he is. But yeah, the ending's really cool. Again, like, I think similar to what Mac was saying, I think the action in that montage is good because you get really only 2 to 3 big like action scenes here, but it still feels like you got a good superhero movie's worth of fighting. You got a lot of Cap. You figured out what he can and can't do. That's sort of one of the reasons I like Captain America as a character compared to some Avengers, is because he's not like, you know, Captain Marvel or Thor or, you know, some of the Thanos even, that like just seem almost impenetrable to anything. I don't think those make for the best heroes. You know, guys like Captain America or Spider-Man, that they're fallible, is always fun for me. And then, you know, the sacrifice at the end, all the emotion with Agent Carter, just great stuff for it's just, it's definitely an origin story. It's hard to review a movie where you've then seen like 6 movies later about these characters, and the decisions now we're watching obviously affect a lot more than you know at the time. But it's definitely a lot of setup for things that happen later on. And maybe not the, if the MCU would have ended after the first Avengers, this probably wouldn't stand alone as that great of a movie. But it is, I think, a lot of good context for me and build up for things that happen later down the line.
I've always wondered why villains want to have world domination. Why can't it just be like regional domination or like country domination? I don't know. I digress. But I thought it was a good way to end it. And I think the fight scene, like the final culmination and like the final fight scene, was good. His decision to take off and get on the airplane. Actually, I need a backpedal. I just want to know, it's always confused me how Colonel Phillips and Peggy just happen to pull up in a car in time when he needs it to go faster. And I always think that's funny. Like, they just like skirt up to him. But yeah, I think his decision to get on the plane and make the ultimate sacrifice again speaks to his character and who he is as a person, what kind of selfless person he is. And yeah, I cried. I told you guys, I'm a big old baby. I'm a big emotional movie watcher. And it always gets me, especially hearing him and Peggy talk. And they're acting as if he's not about to die. And I don't know, something about that. Not that I'm a huge like Peggy and Steve fan. Like, honestly, like, I'm not like super pro them. Not that I'm like anti them. They have a whelming relationship to me. My favorite word, whelming. But like hearing them just talk and carry on as if he's not about to die always just really struck a chord in me and made me really sad for what could have been. And sometimes I find myself not so much mourning the loss of that person, like in like movies or books or something. Like, I more so mourn the time lost or like the what could have been versus like the actual person. So getting to hear them talk about what would have happened had he not died was just, it added another level of sadness to it for me. And yeah, but I think it was a good way to send it off. And their decision to have everyone invade versus him going off on this solo mission, I also think was perfect, because at the end of the day, he is a team player, you know? So I thought it was a good way to end the movie.
I did like the fight scene. However, I think that Schmidt disappearing into the wormhole was a little anticlimactic. I wish it was more of like Captain America kind of taking him down. It's like he just grabbed the Tesseract and just disappeared. And I'm like, wait, what? Even watching it back twice again, I was just like, this is kind of But that was the only part that I didn't really enjoy that much, even though like later down the road near an endgame, we do see Red Skull again, which we don't know that now, but later down the road, we do, spoiler alert. But basically the stakes of him choosing, putting his life on the line in order to get the plane and everything and having to leave Peggy, that was kind of bittersweet, but it just showed what kind of hero he is and that he always puts America and other people first before himself. And speaking on the scene that Forbes is saying about Captain America not being able to get drunk or whatever, that kind of like, in my mind, kind of explained why he was able to survive under that ice for 70 years. So, because at first when I was watching, I was like, well, how did he survive? But I guess like him being able to kind of like regenerate or heal or whatever, that played a factor into him being able to survive those 70 years under the ice. So that kind of answered that question for me rewatching that again.
Yeah, I still enjoy the action here. I will say it suffers from what the MCU generally suffers from, where it cuts a lot during fight scenes and it doesn't let them breathe. So that's a complaint that people have that I did notice happening in this film as well. But I like the way it ends. I think it's a good third act. I think it's a good emotional ending as well. Like Max said and we've said, I really do like that conversation. I think it worked really well and is kind of heartbreaking and leads to such a anxiety-inducing ending. If you're him, I feel like, realizing that you missed that date and everyone you knew is probably dead because you've been asleep for 70 years. I just feel like, as cool as it would be to get to see the future 70 years from now, it would be really rough to have that realization that all your boys are gone and all your family members are gone and everyone you knew is gone. And that's rough, I think. But I really do like the ending. I agree with what Jalen said about it not really being Captain America taking Red Skull out, so I get that. But I think, honestly, over the action, it really is the decisions that he's making that show who he is and tie in to the theme of the film as well and make it a cohesive first story. Like you said, Jeff, in hindsight, and like we've been saying throughout the discussion, in hindsight, maybe it's cooler now because we know where it goes and a bunch of different X factors in that. But I do think that it's a good ending and it's a good origin story. And like I said earlier, I don't think it bores you ever. It's emotionally impactful, like we've said and like I said already. But I really do love that conversation between him and Peggy, and it just sets up him and that being part of his character going forward, and obviously that being where he wants to end up with. So I really do think it's a good third act, and I like that we get him in present day at the end of this film, and it's not either the post-credit scene or at the beginning of Avengers or something. I appreciate that it's the actual end of this film, and him saying, I had a date. I did reference that earlier as being a good final line, just like the I am Iron Man final line in Iron Man. So I do think that cool ending in that last scene was probably when I noticed it the most, but it crept in earlier on. The green screens were noticeable at points, so I'll say that, but obviously they weren't in Times Square when they filmed that, because you can tell from how it looks. And I understand that that might not be the easiest place to film in the middle of the day, but they probably do a better job nowadays, because I don't notice it all the time, although people do complain about their green screen, even today. But I liked all this ending, and like I said, I think it's an underappreciated film, and third act all works for me. Probably the best act of the film, although my favorite one fight sequence is still probably from that earlier sequence when he breaks Bucky and the fellas out.
I agree a lot with what was said, but I mean, Jalen, that point, I thought it was super anticlimactic. Like, we have these two super soldiers, you know, they've both gotten the serum, and then the Red Skull just disappears after picking up the chest act. I thought, because I don't know, I just remember, I felt like I remembered more of like the opportunity for like hand-to-hand combat or something, you know what I mean, for them to really like fight each other kind of got missed. But it wasn't, I mean, it's not a huge deal. And I think the image, like the scene itself where like he goes in the Tesseract is pretty cool. So I think it, you know, that kind of balances it out. You can see the portal open up, you see into the space, and you're like, oh, that's, you know, that's pretty sick. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Agent Carter. I say that, but I never watched her show. I feel bad now. But no, I think it's definitely heartbreaking. You know, it's hard to listen to, because it's like they're both, you know, kind of suspending the reality of the situation, which is that, you know, that for all intents and purposes, he's about to die. And I think it's really just emblematic of who Steve Rogers is, that he's willing to do that to prevent harm, you know, coming to other people. And I thought the line when he kisses Peggy Carter and then Tommy Lee Jones, he looks at Tommy Lee Jones and he's like, I'm not kissing you. I thought that was really funny, but it's pretty well done. From that point, Howard finds the Tesseract after, you know, Steve crashes into the ice. We kind of get like a summary of everything, you know, of where the film leaves things. We see that Howard finds the Tesseract, continuing the search for Captain America until he finally presumes him dead. And then we see a couple shots of the characters remembering Steve. Steve wakes up in a 1940s style like hospital room, and there's this baseball game playing on the radio, and he like realizes, he's like, I was at that game. So he breaks out of the facility and panics, and he ends up in Times Square. And Nick Fury shows up and he tells him he's been asleep for 70 years. And then we get this post-credit scene or post-credit message that says Captain America is going to return in the Avengers. So they're setting that up. And then there's the boxing bag scene from the Avengers trailer where he's, you know, in the gym and breaks the punching bag. And then there's like a brief trailer at the end. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's like a brief trailer for the Avengers itself. So what'd you guys think about the very, very end?
Wait, real quick. When he wakes up here, is he the oldest version ever?
What do you mean?
Well, he's not had sex, right? You don't think him and Peggy fucked, did you? They're there, or they just kissed?
Oh, I didn't hear you say virgin. I thought you said virgin, like Doris.
No, he said that Peggy's the longest woman he's ever talked to, and they don't actually fuck in this movie, right? They just get a little intimate.
There's that little,
they're getting there, but they're not. So he's got to be the oldest virgin in the world.
Yeah,
I kind of agree. Some of the green screen CGI stuff suffers in this movie. I think they might as well have just put in a bunch of ads in the final scene overlaid as actual, like, on top of the screen. And I don't know. It's just the corny Marvel. Like, they like frame around and you can see all the different companies. It's like, yeah, we get it. There's product placement. I'm trying to ignore it. I do think, like, it is cool. It's all a setup. I think now that you mention it, it would be kind of cool if they just cut. That was the first time you saw him in present day. I think even the ice coming up then. I always think it's weird because unless there's a lot more that goes on in the comics that I'm aware about, it feels like the relationship between Howard and Steve is significantly important, but not necessarily displayed that much outside of this film. But yeah, I agree. It's a cool scene, but it definitely suffers from a little bit of that. Like, I don't know enough about film technology on what to call it, but early stage CGI kind of look to it.
Yeah, I thought it was really sweet and moving that Howard was so determined to continue looking for him. That's something that I really appreciated, because you got to see the kind of friendship that they built, and he was so set on not ending the search until he absolutely had to, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to either, especially if I had all the money and resources that he did to continue on looking for him. But yeah, I think this was a good way to end the movie. However, I'm glad you agreed with me, Jeff. Like, I wish this would have been the only time that we knew that he was back. You know, I think not that I hated the beginning or like I dislike anything about this movie in general. I just think it would have been even cooler if this had been the moment that we realized that they found him, he's back, et cetera, et cetera. And then they could have ended it still with the line that I had a date. Like, I think that would have been so cool. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a really good ending. And again, I just generally enjoyed this film. So no complaints.
Honestly, I think this might be an unpopular opinion, but I think Howard and the rest of them just wanted a super soldier, to be honest. Like, let's just be real. Like, they spent a lot of money and time in creating him. They want their soldier back. That's probably the main reason in my mind. But I did enjoy the scene when he was in the hospital room and ended up realizing that he wasn't in the 1940s anymore. Something was going on and just running out in present day. You can just see like the confusion and panic on his face during that scene, which was kind of moving. And you know, you kind of felt that emotion through him. And it really kind of just felt like a long post-credit scene to me, because I forgot this even happened in the movie from when I watched it the first time. And I did appreciate having the Avengers trailer at the end as well and everything, which let us know like a team is coming together, which gave us something to look forward to.
Yeah, I already kind of skipped ahead to this part and talked about this ending scene. I do think they're dumbasses for not just picking a game from a couple years after he had gone under, so they couldn't have fallen under that. It's like just complete oversight. And then I don't have a problem with it being coincidental that he happened to be at the game, but I do think it's funny that they kind of got themselves into that situation like that and he had to break out. But it's cool for us as the audience to see that, I think. I do really like this scene, even though it suffers from the CGI stuff. But like I said earlier, I like this and I like tying it into the overall MCU because I'm sucker for that kind of shit. So yeah, good stuff for me.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that too, Duncan. I think, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous for like a as detail-oriented organization as S.H.I.E.L.D. that they wouldn't just pick one from like 45 or like 46. Because apparently the game is from 1941. I looked it up after they said in the plot. And it's like, why would y'all do that? But I like the end. I was just thinking to your point earlier that, and you guys, I'm sure will correct me if I'm wrong, and you know, we're about to go back through and my memory's not that sharp about other installations of Captain America, but like, I feel like we never really get Steve having to grapple with being taken out of time, you know, like being asleep for 70 years. And I think part of that is because he only has like the two really close relationships, like with Peggy and Bucky, both of whom like he gets closure with Peggy passing. And then, you know, Bucky clearly is alive. Not that it had to be in this movie, but I just thought that was an interesting point. Is like, I feel like that never really happens for him other than some like jokes about his age in the Avengers. We see how old he is, but it's like you were saying, Duncan, like everyone he knows is dead. I feel like that would weigh on a person. And I feel like that kind of gets that side of the character kind of gets swept under the rug. But yeah, I think it works and the trailer is cool. I mean, it definitely is super exciting to be like this close to all of these heroes sharing the screen. So I think they do a good job of enticing viewers to come back. But that we've, you know, talked about the entire movie and that wraps up our discussion of Captain America, the first Avenger. Now it is the moment that you've all been waiting for. It's time for our final thoughts and our ratings. So Jeff, I guess I'll go first. We'll start with you. What are your final thoughts and your rating out of 100 of Captain America, the first Avenger?
Yeah, so when I did the Star Wars pod the other day, I didn't realize we're able to do this where you get to say, well, I'm not nominating it for an Oscar, but I really like it, which I think is a great caveat that you're watching a huge series of movies and individually, a lot of them wouldn't be that stunning and breathtaking, but I really like this film. I will rate it a 7.7 kids that Captain America doesn't need to save because he knows how to swim and can chase after the Hydra guy. That was a mouthful of a rating. But Captain America to me is this guy. So his first movie, right? He's scrawny and weak, can't do anything. Then he gets a superpower. Then he's like an entertainer and basically a joke. Then he finally gets to start kicking some ass and his lifetime best friend dies. Then he goes and he almost saves the day and then still doesn't get the girl at the end and then is in ice for 70 years. And you'll like see the movies go on, like he never really gets any of the cool stuff that like a Tony Stark gets or like a Thor gets or any of the stuff. He kind of just almost like kind of like monk-ish, like lives in poverty in the franchise. Like I know like none of his boys even had money when the Avengers went down. So, you know, he never really had much other than like a tiny apartment. And, you know, you slowly get to watch him reintegrate and then still, because of everything that happens with Civil War, like never really becomes that, never gets the fame and riches that you might hope if you were a superhero saving the day. So I really like this film. It basically sets up everything that the character will go on to do and it sets up what matters most to him. And I think it's just a very fun origin story for a great character that is in a lot of other really kick-ass movies down the road.
Mac, what are your final thoughts and ratings of Captain America, the first Avenger?
Yeah, overall, I think this was a really good movie and I enjoyed it. I think the acting was great. I think the writing was great. I agree that the CGI was a little sketchy at times. Not their best and finest work, Mr. Skinny Steve Rogers. But overall, I thought it was good. And I enjoy it every time I rewatch it, other than my alternative introduction. Yeah, pretty much just the intro to the movie. I don't have any complaints. Like, I genuinely enjoyed this movie. The pacing's great. It's good. And the action's great. And yeah, I think it's good. It's a good, solid film within the franchise. So I am going to give it 91 Red Skulls out of 100.
Jalen, what are your final thoughts and ratings out of 100 of Captain America, the first Avenger?
Yeah, I like this movie a lot. I enjoy the simplicity of the movie, as well as how realistic the movie could be. And this is one movie where it does work, where the characters are personality-wise, it's not too much of a change. I guess, like, his art was more physical than emotional or mental, and that still works for this movie. And, yeah, the CGI was kind of off a little bit at the beginning. It kind of threw me off with the bobblehead. But besides that, it was still a really good movie. I enjoyed the action and the storyline for the movie as well. And I guess I just like Captain America in general, to be honest. But for the movie rating, I would give it 83 SHIELD agents out of 100.
Okay. Duncan, what are your final thoughts and your rating of Captain America, the First Avenger?
Yeah, I like this movie. Like we've said, I think it's a little underappreciated for sure. I think it's a good origin story. Definitely works in the MCU. Exactly what Forbes said. It's being rated here based on how it fits into the MCU and what it does more broadly and definitely in hindsight as well. So it's not just rating it like it's an art film or something like that. But we've gone into all the points. I think it's, like we said, got a great cast, even if they're not given necessarily the most fun to play with. It's obviously focused on basically the three of Rogers, Carter, and Bucky, and then we have the villains. So those are kind of the characters we're focused on. And like I said, like we've mentioned earlier, there are some big actors who get kind of small roles in this. And Tommy Lee Jones, for example, is not the smallest role, not as small as Dormer, for example, but definitely, I think in hindsight, they'd want him for a bigger role in the MCU, like you were saying, Jeff, because you're going to have to cast it with everyone going forward. That's why they're going to have to start getting some lesser known people, maybe younger actors, which is what they were doing at the beginning of this with Hemsworth. Evans wasn't the biggest name in the world, but Hemsworth was definitely an unknown actor for Thor. So they were trying it out a little bit, but I did appreciate it. And like I said, I do think it was unfairly criticized. It wasn't criticized as much as like Iron Man 2 or any of the Hulk movies, but I do think it was not getting the flowers it deserves. So I'm going to give it 82 94-year-old virgins out of 100.
Yeah, the image of this movie that I had in my head is not at all what it is. And I think I'm definitely guilty of underrating it and just not appreciating it enough. I think it, for what it is, you know, being an origin story for Captain America, I think, you know, they sidestep potential missteps and they do a good job of introducing us to the character, making us care about the character, and then showing like the character go through some struggles and face some consequences about the conflict actually causing the main character to lose something. I think that's kind of a inherent flaw in a lot of superhero movies, is just there's very low stakes. And I think this movie kind of, at least at the time, you know, I mean, like now knowing what happens, the stakes are gone. But back then, I think they were very real, at least for me when I watched it. So I don't know. I appreciate it a lot. I think it's very well acted. I like a lot of the performances. I appreciate the cast. Very solid entry. And I think it aged well. So my rating is going to be, I'm going to give it 88. I can do this all day, is out of 100. A big shout out to Jeff for coming on. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Team Cap.
Thanks for coming, Jeff.
Always good to have the Captain America correspondent on.
And that wraps up our discussion of Captain America, the First Avenger. Thank you to our listeners for making it this far. Thank you to our returning listeners, as well as to our new listeners. We hope you enjoyed it and we'll stick around. Remember, we have 4 episodes a week, releasing on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And our next episode release is on Thursday, where we will be discussing Kenobi Part 5. Stay tuned for all of our future episodes and check out our back catalog of episodes as well. Remember, you can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts by searching the letters GDT. We're available on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and pretty much any one of the free platforms as well. Be sure to subscribe to us and also leave a 5-star review if you can. You can keep track of all our episodes there, and you can also check us out on our social media platforms to stay up to date. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Good Data Pod and on Facebook at GDT Podcast. That's all for this week. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.
See y'all next week.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Gonna add Captain America Simp to my LinkedIn skills.